Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, Egg Chasers. It's the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. But we are back once again in the Rugby Dungeon here to talk to you about the game we all love. So let's get straight into it. I'm Tim. That is JB.
Hello, Timothy.
JB, that looks like Sail Sharks stash you've got on. It's exactly the same shirt as Sail Sharks old kit post-match t-shirt used to be.
Do you know what? I'm finding it hard to let go. I am. It is really, really tough. But yeah, it is a bit Sail Sharksy. Maybe that's subconscious more than anything else.
Have you debadged a Sail Sharks shirt?
No, I have not. But I might go around just getting rid of all the Sharks logos. I think Tears removes them, you know.
And Phil is in a Stade Francais jersey. Evening, Phil.
Evening. Hello, Tim.
Hello. So we are on Facebook Live streaming right now. If you're watching that, leave your comments. Hi to Ant Jepsum, Josh Smith, Christopher Watt in Inverness. We're also, you may be listening to this on iTunes, on the Apple Podcast store, you have to call it now, Acast. Wherever you are, leave your reviews, subscribe, tell your mates.
Oh yeah, and also hello to Head of HSBC Cash Machines, who's a listener, would you believe it?
What?
Really?
Yeah, the head of UK HSBC ATMs, there you go.
Head of ATMs?
Yeah, huge job.
That is a big job. Nice.
There you go. Yeah, nice. Slightly confusing, but nice.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was at Saracens today, and there was three different times when people went, "Let the boys play." It's good. It's like a way of people letting me know that they listen.
It's like a secret handshake, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a secret handshake. I appreciate it. Right. So on this podcast today, we're going to be talking about the weekend's rugby, of which there was plenty. There's also been some developments in the game in relation to the World Cup, the pools and all the rest of it. And also, just to give you a quick heads up, later in the week we're going to be releasing a Autumn International Preview podcast, just a little short podcast that will come out on probably Wednesday, Thursday maybe, which will just be a quick little getting excited for the weekend ahead.
Oh, damn it. ATM.
Oh,
ATM machines.
Andy Ollie has pointed out we said ATM machines.
Oh, what an idiot. Pin numbers.
Automatic.
Whatever next.
Automatic teller or telling teller.
Automatic teller machine.
Machine, yeah.
Damn it.
Good point. Right, but before we get into that, I just want to remind you that if you go to our Facebook page, as well as seeing the video of this and seeing the Rugby Dungeon and whatnot, you can also see all the information on our Tier 2 tour, which is taking us to Madrid in Spain to watch Spain versus Germany in the Tier 2 competition during the Six Nations next year, which will involve, well, got well over 100 people already confirmed they're coming out, bought flights, dirt cheap, by the way, still. And also coming along to our live podcast that will be out there.
Which I can confirm, there will be a very, very special surprise. A very special... I'm not going to tell you what it is. You're going to have to come. But yeah. It's awesome.
Do I know about this special surprise?
You know about both of them. Mm. One of them's confirmed.
Ooh.
Yeah, we have been saying we hope that we have some special surprises. One is
it's
absolutely
awesome.
Rubber stamped happening.
It's genuinely awesome.
It really is amazing. Wow. It really is amazing.
So I don't know which one. If either of those is rubber stamped,
yeah,
that is.
Hold on a minute. Let me give you
incredible.
A little symbol. Let me give you a symbol behind the screen.
Ah, yeah.
That one.
Great podding.
That's some of the international sign language for what that is. Right.
And also a few other things too. Yeah.
So, yes, we'll be getting there on Friday, leaving on Monday. It seems to be what a lot of people are doing. It'll involve a game and loads of beers on Friday night, watching Six Nations rugby and beers on Saturday, live podcast, going to the
brunch.
Game. Rugby brunch breakfast, rugby brunch podcast. Then straight to Spain v Germany. Then we're watching Wales v Italy live as well, straight after that. And then
if you've got anything left, we can go out again.
We'll empty the tanks in Madrid.
On Sunday night.
All the details are there. Right. And for Spain and Germany, they're two of the emerging rugby nations, so it seems appropriate that we just briefly mention the fact that it's been a big week for the Rugby World Cup and the road to the World Cup in 2019 and beyond.
Yes.
Firstly, the schedule for the pools was announced by World Rugby in Japan midweek, and I mean, it's the same teams that we already knew in the pools have been drawn. It's been relatively kind to England, I'd say. In the schedule, though, I don't mean the teams in the pool. I mean the schedule of it.
Yeah, schedule's good. Eddie Jones has spoke about his positive reaction to the schedule. The pool, I can't make up my mind because we could have got a more difficult second place team. Mm-hmm. So it's England's pool is England, France, Argentina as the top three, then United States and Tonga. Now, France is the second place team. We could have got a more difficult second place team. We could have got South Africa. We could have got Wales, who I think are probably more difficult. We couldn't have got a more difficult third place team, I wouldn't say, as Argentina.
Mm.
And it's almost the uncertainty to have France and Argentina. Right now, we have no idea what type of team is going to turn up.
Two complete wild cards.
Yeah. And Argentina have got form of being very good in World Cup years. And
I think they're reversing their policy about outside players, aren't they, leading up to the World Cup?
Are they?
Yes, I think I'm right in that. So they've had 2 years exclusively Argentine players, and then up to the World Cup, you know, they're calling up the cavalry.
Yeah. So I've just seen today, actually, that Herrera's signed for Stade Francais, the tight head prop.
So
he'll be someone who they could call on along with Issa.
I thought you meant Iurta for a second then.
No. one thing that I've noticed in terms of the schedule, I remember with the 2015 World Cup, the odds were really stacked against the Tier 2 nations because they were having to double up with five-day turnarounds.
Oof.
and the big nations were having 7-10 days between games.
Yeah.
And it just seemed unfair. And the Tier 2 nations did amazingly given that. But that isn't the case this time. It's very much more balanced. Yeah. Between all the sides. So that's good. The other Rugby World Cup bit of news this week was the 2023 World Cup, which Ireland were gunning to try and get, or are still gunning to try and get, France, South Africa, and the recommendations were given by World Rugby.
Yeah.
Which the announcement of who the host nation will be is on the 15th of November.
Yeah.
South Africa are ahead currently.
Right.
They're in pole position.
So I don't like any of these choices really for World Cup. Because
what?
I don't.
Why not?
I don't. And I'll tell you why. The World Cup has this chance, doesn't it, to spread the game. And the thing about the World Cup is there's only a couple of teams that are likely to win it. There's only a couple of unions really wealthy enough to host it. So maybe they should start to look at the World Cup as a showpiece, because it is a global sport, and take it to random countries, kind of like the way that we go to the Tier 2 tours. And I mean this seriously. So, you know, Italy could do a World Cup, and it isn't a random country. Spain could easily do a World Cup.
Well, hold on. You're saying you don't like this, and you're saying take it to Italy, take it to Spain. Ireland have never had it.
Oh, is that right? You know, no, you're right, actually.
And that's what I was disappointed. Ireland came in third place.
Do you know what? Yeah. I've never really thought of it in those terms.
So Ireland have had games at Lansdowne Road in previous World Cups in 1991 and in 2015, but this is an all Ireland, northern and southern.
Scotland's never had it either, have they?
Nope.
No,
they've never tried.
They had games in 1991.
Also, it's quite amusing to think, what would the Spanish Union do with £100 million? it'd be quite interesting. But why not send it to strange countries or non-traditional countries with good infrastructure?
The problem I have with that is if it went to Spain, you'd get half-empty stadiums.
Yeah, maybe.
How good was the 2015 World Cup?
Ireland would be full stadiums. Yeah. I suspect all three of those nations would be full stadiums.
Yeah, you're right. In that respect, you're right.
I'd be cool with it going again to England or to South Africa or Australia, New Zealand, if they did what we suggested they did, which is keep the tournament going with all the smaller teams right the way through.
Yeah,
so every team gets a place 1 to 24 or whatever it is.
Yeah,
like the Sevens World Cup.
Yeah, exactly.
There's more games to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be brilliant.
Yeah, and you could, and there would be the appetite and the number of people that would go to those games. I was disappointed that Ireland are ranked third and it's looking like they're out of it. That it's not a done deal, I gather.
No, absolutely not.
South Africa are looking really in a strong position.
From what I've read, it isn't a done deal, but it would be very surprising if it goes to anyone other than South Africa because the recommendation has been made.
Yeah, they've hosted major tournaments before. Good infrastructure, yada, yada, yada. Good place to visit and huge rugby following.
Yes. And
and they
yes.
could do with a shot in the arm, I guess, so why not?
Yeah.
One amazing bit of news. Who saw this coming this week?
What's
Marlon Yard signed for Sale Sharks.
Has no. He?
Really? Yeah, still feeling the impact of that one.
How's your week been, Jay?
Oh, difficult, difficult.
I did like that even BT Sport stuck the knife in a little bit, like 3 days after Steve Diamond, to your face, Tim, lied to your face and denied JB's allegations that...
Do you need to be coaching the team now, Tim? Because wasn't that almost the implied deal, like... you coach the team, I'll ask the questions if Marlon Yard's coming. Shouldn't you be kind of director of rugby? Yeah, bizarre things going on there, but I think they've probably got bigger fish to fry other than me. So, never mind, happens.
Some bona fide fish to fry.
Do you think he's a good signing?
We talked about this last week. We'll see.
Marlon Yard, if you can get the best out of him, is a hell of a player.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But Sale, as we said last week, they are strong on the wings.
You know
they
what?
Need
enough
players.
Sale chat. Let's move
on. Yeah, if you had a quarter of a million quid to spend, wouldn't necessarily spend it on him. But
exactly.
Right. Rugby World Cup pools, done that. Right. Rugby this weekend.
Yes.
The Southern Hemisphere teams have started to arrive. Go on, Jay, what were you going to say?
Yeah, I was going to say that this has been one of the most enjoyable weekends of rugby I've had in a long time. I think it's been absolutely superb.
What in particular? Because there's a few disparate sections of rugby playing this weekend.
Yeah, so I thought, full marks for the Pro 12. The Pro 12 has been... Pro 14, God's sakes, has been tremendous. I'm going to say it now. This is the best season of Pro 14 rugby I think I've ever seen. And the reason I say that, I think the... South African teams are actually a stroke of genius. It's turned out really, really well.
I would agree with that. Certainly one half of it.
Yeah.
Although, the cheaters, yes.
Did you see the score King. This week, though? Did you see the game this week?
The Kings versus Ulster?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a bit nervy.
And good tries, too, by the Kings.
Yeah.
There is a small tinge of disappointment with the Pro 14, which is, I'm not sure what's more disappointing, the Arab Spring or the Italian Autumn. Because it started well and it's just sort of just gone awful now. Again, it's got sort of gone back to what it was. I watched a bit of the Cardiff game and Zebra looked very well organised but ultimately just failed.
Zebra.
And Benetton lost as well. So very disappointed there.
Can you tell me whether either of those teams had their internationals?
Yeah, I was going to ask exactly the same question. And the same with Irish, Scottish and Welsh teams. Did they withdraw all their international players?
Not all,
but a lot.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, but
I'm gonna disagree with you and say yeah, the rugby may have been great, but
oh mate,
these are those weeks where I'm a bit meh. About
Oh no, you did not watch the Glasgow Leinster game because if you did, it was one of the most exciting games of the season. I don't care who was playing, who could have played. It was tremendous. Matawala, is that how you say his name?
Nicola Matawala.
Matawala. Is mercurial
when he plays for Glasgow.
When he plays for Glasgow.
So how come? So he was at Bath for a period, and then he was at Exeter for a period, and they didn't get. Well, they didn't really get anything out.
He needs rain and cold weather and to play at night. That's how you do it.
And on a plastic pitch.
Was he playing nine?
No,
on the wing. I was going to say that they signed him mainly as a winger this season.
He actually nearly scored a try. They did score a try from it, but he nearly scored a try. Literally 1 yard from his own line and then started running and he never stopped until he passed the ball.
He could have scored that as well.
Yeah. And that wasn't the only one. I mean, he was doing this pretty much all the time. And the most impressive thing about the Glasgow win is there might not be another team in the entire league which has been affected so much by call-ups as Glasgow. But the reason they can continue to carry on is because they've got a good identity now. They've got strength in depth. They're a proper outfit. And they were down to a bare 15, I'd say.
And well, it did help that they were playing the other team most affected by international call-ups.
Yeah, but very strong, though. I mean,
it was still a strong...
No, I'm gonna call it. The game was exciting, and I'm really pleased about that.
You need to see the highlights, Tim.
Leinster, well, I don't care. Leinster v Glasgow, I want to see internationals v... I want to see their two best teams
have
together.
Have we just swapped positions here? Because this is using my point on, yeah, on the Pro 12.
Well, I think I even mentioned it last week when we were previewing the game. It's a shame that this fixture has happened in this international period.
Yeah, I do agree with that.
Yeah, you're probably right.
But I'm glad it was a good game.
It's a great game.
Waisaki Naholo, filthy offload. Utter filth.
I have no idea how he stayed in touch. Stayed out of touch. Stayed in the field of play.
Got there in the end.
And offloaded that ball for that try.
I've always thought, if I was going to try and find proof of clairvoyance or psychic powers, the first place I would start is with sportsmen. Particularly the ones which are excellent at picking up passes or seeing things that no one else sees. I'm sure Waisaki Naholo has some sort of clairvoyant power.
If you watch that, even in slow motion, you're like, he's not going to do this.
He just knew it was going to happen.
He's not. There's no way he can get through and offload that ball. There's two defenders on him, and he's within inches of the touchline. Amazing.
Yeah, I didn't actually watch the Barbarians game. I saw some of the highlights, but...
It was a good game.
You never. It's just too much of a novelty.
It was good. The Barbarians looked like a team.
Mm.
Like, as in.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, Tim.
Sorry.
I was actually watching it thinking, are we now at a level of professionalism with rugby union where the players are so well conditioned and understand multiple different attacking and offensive drills, patterns, shapes, that with a few days, so decent, because these are not superstars in the Barbarians team. There's a couple of superstars.
Do you class Quagga Smith as a superstar?
He's not far off a superstar. But tell me this back line. Harold Vorster, Richard Buckman, George Bridge.
Yeah, fair.
Andy Ellis, Richie Munga, Vince Arso, Julian Surveyor.
So one superstar.
One
bona fide superstar.
Yeah.
Oh, bona fide. We'll come back to that.
So, yeah, is professionalism at that level where you can just slot them in and they can compete? And I know this was nearly a second string New Zealand team, but a second string All Black team would still beat almost any international team in the world.
And there was what, four All Black players in the Barbarians team that will link up with the squad afterwards? They have more than two teams.
Now, yes. If I was a touring team, okay, and I was going to release my players, the last place I'd release them to is the heavy drinking Barbarians. Before an international tour, no way.
He would have been burned at the stake a couple hundred years ago, Waisaki Naholo, for that, as we said. It's just witchcraft. It was brilliant.
Magnificent.
The other thing that was magnificent, and he should be the only person allowed to officiate Barbarians matches, Nigel Owens.
I don't
Owens,
like this.
So good.
No, I kind of feel that I don't like officials joking around too much. I do like Nigel Owens, and I think he's good, and I think he's funny. The danger is everyone tries to do it, and not every referee is that amusing, even amusing.
Nigel Owens is, so he can.
Yeah. I don't like it.
But it's that amazing thing where he manages to not give away as many penalties, no cards. He lets things go, but doesn't let it get out of hand, which is amazing balance to strike.
I agree with that.
Do you know the cricket 2020, where they get the guys on mic when they're playing, and they have a bit of banter?
Yeah.
It sort of feels stilted now. They should give it a rest.
Oh, no, I do like him. And the point, so the one-liners, some of them kind of do fall a bit flat on me.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I've seen it. But he engenders a culture on the pitch that allows the best...
Oh, here we go.
The best rugby to be played.
Yeah, agreed. This is him when there's a scrum down just before halftime.
Throw the ball under the lock's feet, even though it's a... even straight to the ball.
I can't put it under his foot, because otherwise they're going to win the ball.
Well, that's the whole point of the contest, that it's in the middle, that it's a fair contest. Straight
to the ball. Short of a word.
Oh, it's dull,
wait. Cheat fair. If you're going to cheat, you cheat fair.
Just play the game. You know, yeah, fine. It's got to be... I didn't like that exchange. It's got to be off the cuff.
Yes. Well, yeah. I mean, he has come up with some corkers. But I agree with what you say, that anyone trying to recreate that kind of Nigel Owens risks...
Mm.
This is great banter.
Oh, wow.
Risk going a bit partridge with it, so... But I just thought he did a great job. Mm. Yeah, as you said, a very much a second string New Zealand team, but they seem to be treating these autumn internationals like a bit of a training camp, which I quite like.
Yeah, they're exposing quite a few new players to the game, certainly to the All Blacks.
I.e., they're going to give us a chance.
I'm not sure of that. I think it's more. They're building for the longer term.
So who is not included? Because I seem to remember...
Julian Savea. Can't get anywhere near their squad.
Yeah.
Isn't there someone who's actually on sabbatical as well? Oh, no.
That's Israel Folau.
Israel Folau, yeah.
Yeah, Folau's on sabbatical. Ben Smith is on sabbatical as well.
Yeah. Well, that's an HIA-based one, isn't it?
Except
no,
for...
Oh, no, it's, no. It's not. It's no. not. It was. So he has had some issues with concussion, but it was a pre-agreed in the same way that McCaw and Carter...
Yeah,
and I think Conrad Smith.
Silly question: do they get paid for these sabbaticals?
Genuinely, no idea.
Because I'd hope they would, and the reason is the whole point of a sabbatical, rather than just not going, is the fact that you've already proven yourself, and you know you don't need to go out and play, but you are part of the squad. I thought it's kind of that's why it's just not called a break.
They'll probably be on a retainer type thing with the New Zealand Rugby Union or something like that. Tell you what, Jay, we can ask him at the World Rugby Awards
in
Monaco.
Oh, yeah, we're going to that. That'd be nice.
But no, only bona fide media would be allowed to go there.
Yeah, only bona fide media.
Right. Australia pumped Japan.
Yes.
9 tries, was it? Or 7 tries?
Lots of tries. Hat-trick for Kurundrani, a couple for Karevi, who were playing as a very, very dynamic centre partnership with Kirtley Beal at 15.
Right. This is bad. This is genuinely bad, because I had hoped for a little bit more from Japan than this. They've got 2 years in order to become one of the favourites for the World Cup, and it doesn't sound like they're on the right path, despite having maybe one of the best coaching teams on the planet right now.
Yeah, it's a little bit worrying.
But I don't know who played for Japan. I don't know what I don't know anything about the team that they put out. So,
by the way, Roger Wilkins has got in touch with us on the Facebook live feed. I mean, I'm just trusting you on what you say, Roger. He says yes, they do get paid when they're on sabbatical.
Oh, there you are,
perfect.
And Rob Brian Smith said, "Oh, don't forget, Luatua was class. He was very good."
Yes, he was. Japan team. So there are a few notable names. Shota Hori.
Mm-hmm.
Who had previously captained at hooker. Michael Leach was playing. Manaki Mafi. Tanaka, the scrum half, was playing. So they've got a few.
So they had all the boys out?
I would assume so. Maybe not all of them, because there's a few names I don't recognise, but a fair few who...
Could be good for Australia. They're coming off the back of beating New Zealand.
Yeah, well, I hope it is Australia being good rather than Japan being poor.
Well, when we do our midweek... Autumn International Preview podcast, we can get into that a little bit more.
We certainly can do.
Mm.
One bit of rugby over the weekend, the top 14, obviously the meat grinder that is the top 14, that doesn't stop. And Chris Ashton got a hat trick.
Yeah.
They're loving him in Toulon at the minute. He got a hat trick starting at fullback.
Yeah, quite incredible. In a defeat away at Agen.
Yeah, and after that defeat, their flamboyant owner, Murad Boujalal, likened his back line to the cutting edge of 21st century technology, saying that his back line is like a PlayStation 4. His forwards are like an Atari.
Nice.
And a PlayStation 4 and an Atari do not go together. There you go.
I'm glad he explained that that analogy.
Now, am I told you the story I heard about Mourad Boujalal taking his team up to a semi-final in Paris when Stade Francais won the title? They beat Toulon on the way to that. And when they beat Toulon...
Oh, Bernard Laporte was boss at the time, wasn't he?
He could have been, yeah. Could have been. And when they beat...
When Stade Francais beat Toulon.
Mourad Boujalal went back to the airport and took the team's charter plane on his own.
Yeah, Bernard Laporte and Boujalal flew back.
Bernard Laporte managed to sneak his
him and Boujalal.
What a scumbag!
Him and Boujalal flew back and the whole squad were left in Paris.
Yeah, they had to wait. It's like 7 hours for the plane to come back.
Wow.
That's it's harsh, isn't it?
Yeah.
But luckily, rugby players don't get into the trouble in Paris, so it all worked out fine.
If you perform well, you get a flight back. It's merit based. I've got no problem with that.
Well said. Otherwise, you were hitchhiking. Do you want to talk about the other World Cup going on?
Do you want to mention a few things?
Well, yeah, why not? Rugby league's on at the moment. The world's greatest game. Actually, am I allowed to talk about a game from 2001?
The world's greatest kit. We already talked about that last week. The Australian Rugby League kit is the best stash on earth. So why do you want to talk about a game from 2001?
Well, because they're just getting all wrapped up in rugby league fever, as one does. And one of my favourite commentators of all time, not maybe because he's a great commentator, because of the passion he has for what he does, is Steve-O. And in his duo with Eddie and Steve-O. I mean, they are so if you're watching a game of rugby league commentated by Eddie and Steve-O, not only are you watching the greatest sport that ever existed ever, the game you're currently watching is the best game in that sport that the game has ever seen.
It might be 4-2 Hull KR versus
it's
Castleford.
So physical.
This is the greatest game ever.
One of my favourites was when Stuart Fielding was sort of coming back into form after he transferred over to Wigan, and they decided before the game Stuart Fielding was going to have a good game. So they said, look at his eyes, you can see the intensity. And then he knocked the ball on twice. He's too intense. He's too intense.
My favourite Steve-O commentary. Someone knocks the ball on like 5 yards from their own line. Opposition player just picks it up, flops over the line. Steve-O, that is a GIFTTRY. It is a gift try.
No. It's Leon Price goes over and he goes TRY by PRYCE Price, and they do it as a duo. And I think rugby league's missing that. Actually, rugby league is missing Eddie and Steve-O.
Oh dear.
So there was actual rugby league on, which wasn't from 2001. If you want to have a look at some rugby league, go YouTube the fight between St Helens and Wigan on the Good Friday game. I've watched that about 6 times. It's also on my my Twitter feed. It's just amazing. I just can't help but think when I watch that.
Is it the 2004 one?
Was it 2004 maybe?
Let's get into it.
Yeah. This is our crowd.
How come a laptop so big produces such a quiet sound?
This is our crowd.
The crowd is amazing, isn't it? The crowd is genuinely like nothing I've heard. I mean, it's not even like it's even louder than the football crowd.
There's just 26 players going for it.
And look at the names as well. I know more names on that field there than I know in all of rugby league now. Sculthorpe, Farrell there.
Wellens.
That
atmosphere sounds amazing.
How did it go so wrong?
Oh, there's someone's taking the trouble of putting subtitles for the stuff from what the players say.
Just leave the commentary to play a bit, right? Because if you listen to this, it's disgusting. Not the guys throwing punches trying to knock each other's teeth out. Not that. The officials have lost control of the game. That's fine. This is that.
On.
Newton, Terry Newton.
Yeah.
Big prop.
Hooker, Terry Newton.
Oh, yeah. Well, the crowd was singing Andy Farrell. Oh,
yeah, it's just amazing, isn't it? And they just think, it makes me so sad. How did it go so wrong? Yeah. Anyway.
Well, no, I would say that there was an amazing moment. It wasn't a fight, and I agree with you. I love that. But the atmosphere in that stadium, I'll play it now.
Tua Samoa on the right, and the Sipitau from the Kingdom of Tonga on the left about to be performed.
So the Sipitau, Tonga v Samoa. Check out the crowd. I'll skip it on. Check out the crowd when they get going. Listen to that.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? I've got to say, I saw people posting it. I was like, oh, I don't need more tribal dancing.
And then you watched it.
And then I watched it. I thought, yeah, maybe they can.
I'll let me skip it on. Just wait till they get going. The crowd start ramping up. They're getting louder. It's awesome. It was amazing.
Mm.
So I loved it. Yeah, I've been love the rugby. The Rugby World Cup's been good.
Yeah,
Rugby League World Cup.
I just kind of wonder, have we missed a trick by banning all fighting? I mean, listen to that crowd.
I say by banning podcasters.
Yeah, banning podcasters. I miss bona fide fighting, and that crowd is going wild because of the intensity of the event. And you watch that and you think, I want to see the rest of this game. I will stop anything I'm doing now and watch the rest of that game. And rugby union is obviously a brilliant sport. We all love it. But has it lost its edge? I can't help but think it has.
Well, one thing I will say, there's an element, I reckon, and we'll see this maybe through the autumn internationals, the crowds at international rugby games has changed. And I'd say there's a lot of people that are there for the booze and the rugby as a backdrop.
And I'm guilty of any one of that.
Yeah, and I understand, and I'm cool with that. I understand it, but there's an element where I think it's that kind of intense feeling about the team.
Yeah,
isn't quite there.
That's a very good point, because I think the big difference is, like, Wigan, St Helens, the little clips that we just watched then. Those guys are Wigan and St Helens fans. They literally could not care who signed for anyone else. Whereas I am a generic. I don't have a team. I don't anymore. I'm just a fan of rugby, so I will go for the booze and to watch the rugby. But I'm not a tribal guy. I don't, root madly for anyone really. And that's a difference.
Yeah.
Mm. So this is why rugby league has gone so wrong. The Scotland team.
Wait, is this wrong or right?
Oh, I don't know. I think this might... I don't know, actually.
Hmm.
Who did you see who... I'll tell you where rugby league's gone wrong. England are playing against Lebanon.
Yes.
What's going on there?
So Lebanon, right? Isn't there a huge Lebanese population? Is it in Sydney or somewhere?
I don't know where in Australia, but I know in Australia there is a big Lebanese population.
So all those players are 100% Australian in terms of how they sound. I mean, they are not flying over many Lebanese nationals, let's put it that way, right? But they are all Lebanese, and they are pretty good at rugby league.
Yeah. Yeah, they're very good. Mm. I mean, if you look at the scores from this weekend, so England beat Lebanon by 29-10, I think it was.
Yeah.
Whereas Wales, who do actually play rugby, were hammered by 70 points against Fiji.
Yeah.
Scotland, who do actually play rugby, got hammered by 70 points against New Zealand.
Yeah. Well, and they're going to get worse now because three of their players, do you know this, Tim? Have been kicked off the squad.
Scotland?
Yeah. Scotland.
Danny Breath, the captain, plus two others who I don't know. Danny Breath, I think, played at Wakefield for a while.
He's Huddersfield now.
Is he?
Yeah.
Too drunk to catch the flight. Have a think about that one. Too drunk to catch a flight, and you're captain of your nation, and you actually missed, the flight.
So they would go travelling from Christchurch to play. I don't know what. Didn't say where they were going to play. Anyway, flight from Christchurch, and too drunk to board the plane.
Yeah, quite wow, incredible. The other bit of news coming out of the Rugby World Cup is you're going to have to Google this, because if I get this wrong, I'll be lynched. But wasn't there a 200-man stick fight?
A stick fight?
Yeah, I believe there's been quite a lot of violence. maybe we will edit that bit out. But yeah,
that's what you're allowed to say. You're allowed to speculate that there.
No. I can't randomly speculate that there was a stick fight at a stadium. Well, but there was.
If there wasn't, you've said there might not be. There might be. Go and have a look.
There's also a gunfight. There may have been, there may not have been. No, there was a general appeal to all the crowds to stop the violence.
Really?
Yeah, at the start of the week.
Ooh.
Right. Well. Oh, I'll keep an eye for that. Oh, sorry. Bloody hell, I'm having a nightmare on my computer tonight. Mm. Let's go from stick fights to...
Oh, I am right. Thank you, Roger Wilkins, who's basically providing us all our facts tonight.
He's the new Phil.
Yeah, he's new Phil. Yeah, there was a stick fight. 200 men, I don't know.
How many sticks?
Hang on. Do you bring your own stick?
I don't know.
Maybe.
It's like a bonfire type thing with a load of sticks in the middle and you have to run and get them.
Yeah.
Roger, can you tell us?
Yeah, I don't know how you organise a 200-man stick fight.
You sure it's not a load of hipsters with those little spinning top things?
Like Diabolos.
Maybe
it was just completely missing.
There's quite a lot of high and tight hipster haircuts in the Rugby League World Cup. I know, I can say that.
Diabolo sticks would be the worst sticks for fighting with.
Yeah.
For one thing, they're like drumsticks, so they're not going to do any damage. Secondly, they're connected by rope. So you can't even get them good
swing. Like nunchucks. Like kind of hipster nunchucks.
Very lightweight. Really lightweight nunchucks.
Oh, apparently it's been happening all over New Zealand. So there you go. Loads of stick fights. Can't wait for that. The new craze that all the kids are into.
This didn't happen when the Lions visited New Zealand.
No.
While we're on the... Well, in fact, let me say, very soon we've got a little... I've got a tale of some rugby misdemeanours from the Union Code.
Ooh.
We'll get into that in a bit.
There is quite an amazing story, but before you do that, do you want to talk about Cornerstone?
I do certainly want to talk about it. Do you know what? We're on the same wavelength.
Yeah,
tonight,
we are.
JB.
Pros, aren't we?
I was thinking exactly that. Yes, we are supported by Cornerstone, a mail order razor company. They're amazing. They're the original of these mail order types. Now, there's quite a few mail order razor companies that have seen Cornerstone and how good they are, tried to emulate them and failed, but they're just... always go for the original and best. And also, there's other companies that have come on that are just, you know, they're trying to undercut Cornerstone by like a quid, but they're offering a plastic handle.
Careful, Tim, we've already had one cease and desist.
Hi, Procter & Gamble. So what you get with Cornerstone, because you listen to us, is a brilliant discount and a great offer. So you could get 6 precision German engineered razors that have been best in class in awards for GQ in the past and on a BBC television show against the ones they were tested against. We also love it and think they're great. But you also get a metal, heavy, weighty aluminium shaft, which is engraved with your initials. Or if you're buying a gift, maybe for Christmas for someone or a birthday, then engraved with their initials, whatever you want. You get all that beautiful presentation box with other little goodies and it just looks lovely. £4.
Yeah, we actually do believe these are the bona fide best razors that you can buy.
100% bona fide. So £4, all of that, cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers. That's cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers or...
Egg10 at checkout.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet Plush Care, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yes. Right, I am going to leave that little story of rugby union and misdemeanours. I think I want to get back to some like game type stuff for a minute. Any other rugby you saw over the weekend you want to mention? Anglo-Welsh Cup's been going on. Anyone you saw that kind of perked your interest?
Yes, quite a few actually. I'm glad you asked. For Leicester, I thought they looked very, very good actually. Pacolani seems like a decent player.
The 15.
Yep.
Yeah, he's not a young guy. He's coming at 28 years of age. They
is
brought
that
him
right?
In as, yeah.
Because he's built like a 16-year-old.
Yeah. There was one guy playing in that game. I'm going to have to get the chap's name. And fair play to him. He was a 17-year-old for Gloucester making his debut.
What position?
Off the bench. He was a back, number 23.
Okay.
And before the game, they were walking around on the pitch, and I looked at the guy and thought he was someone's son, or
really?
Or a kid who'd won a competition to come along with the squad.
I remember that.
He looks so young.
I remember looking at the guy who's playing for London Irish against Sale some years ago in the Stockport Stadium, and thinking that guy can't be playing, and he came on number 8. Yeah, it's always scary when it's kind of like when policemen start to look young. It's that sort of thing. The other guy was Thacker. I thought he played very well.
And so this is the other Thacker.
Yes,
who was playing Charlie in the centre. Mm.
Now I know that Jordan Murphy, who was in charge of Leicester for the day, he was very unhappy with how they played. They won in the end, not that comfortably, and Gloucester just didn't give up. But yeah, I think judging by the way Jordan Murphy was. Mm. We will expect Leicester, who are the holders of this competition, to be a lot better in other games.
Yep. So it's a funny one, the Anglo-Welsh, because everyone leaves all their structures at home, and it's all about individual talent, in my mind. So the players that shine are the players that can make breaks and that can, you know, do something special with their feet, basically. Whereas, generally speaking, in the Premiership, of course that is vital, but the Premiership structures allow for bigger players to be more valuable. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
The Anglo-Welsh is far, far quicker and more risky with far more errors.
Yeah.
And I think the particular way you see this is in the defence, which at sometimes, I mean, you see tackles, you see missed tackles you'd never see in the Prem. And that's the big difference, I think.
Do you see the score on that exact point? Do you see the scoreline in the Wasps Newcastle game?
Yeah, madness.
41-53. Yeah. Like a Super Rugby score.
The highest aggregate score ever.
In the Anglo-Welsh?
Possibly in...
In an English...
In a top flight match, as in a game that Premiership clubs are involved in.
Mm. Wow.
Now, obviously, I'm going to mention this guy because he used to play for RGC. Where's my bell? But I thought James Lang at Harlequins played really well.
Use your synthetic bell.
Oh, yes. Good point. Hold there. Yeah, James Lang played very, very well at Harlequins, nailed that last kick of the game, and also provided a nice little offload for the first try.
So Lang normally plays 10, doesn't he? Or historically plays 10, but he's playing 12 today, interestingly, which is certainly a contradiction to the normal 12 that Quins would put out.
Quite. It is interesting because he's obviously a very good player. He's very fast, he's got good kicking, good distribution. But I think he's in a bit of a no man's land because you've got Catch Kaylor, Sweel.
They don't have Sweel now, he's injured. So Lang was always going to be moved into 10 at some point in the game.
Oh, was that right?
But they've had another 10 go down injured. I also am going to disagree, or at least change what you just said. I think very interesting to us. I don't think it's actually very interesting. Talking about Quinn's fourth choice fly half.
I like it. I mean, I'm into it. This is what these weekends are for, Tim. For people that love the game. Who else stood out? Who was the winger for Newcastle with the beautiful feet?
Radwan.
Gas. Scored a couple of tries.
Yeah. Super gas. Ridiculous gas.
And I don't think we need to talk about Newcastle.
I spent some time with Toby Flood today, and he said a story about Adam Radwan, just that he is a very clever rugby player and actually just a clever bloke. Because
was that who was in the commentary booth?
Yes,
with Ali Eakin.
Yeah,
was that his first time?
I have no idea.
It's pretty good. I enjoyed it.
He totally aced Adam Radwan totally aced his HIA base test, so I didn't know what they did. Toby Flood was explaining it on the catering
he
bus.
He aced it.
So what they do is they give you 10 words
yeah
or something. They just say, they're just 10 words, you've got a minute to memorise them. And then at 3 points, days afterwards, like might be 2 days later, might be, oh, you just had your lunch, what are your 10 words? Mm. And he got 10 out of 10 every time over the...
So what we're saying, it only takes a tiny head knock for Adam Ranwan to be HIA?
Yes! Yes!
He set the ball.
I wonder
too high.
If there's some like wily old campaigners that are just like yeah. just get a couple deliberately wrong.
Sorry, Gov, I only remember two.
See, I thought the new protocols didn't have anything that
could be gamed.
Yeah. Didn't have anything that set a base level. It's
And we've all seen
the saliva testing is one that's coming in.
Oh, now. That's one of the new ones, yeah.
And we've all seen Any Given Sunday where Shark, the linebacker, signs it away.
Yeah.
You know, so we can't have, you know, we can't have him gaming the system.
Yes.
Yeah, the other thing, because Tim Visser flew back from Dubai, landed on Thursday, wasn't expecting to play, then ended up at fullback. Actually,
he did all right, didn't he?
Did all right. He butchered a finish. He should have scored, but anyway.
But of all the things Tim Visser's going to butcher playing fullback, it's not going to be a finish, is it?
No, his kicking was good. But another thing, again, I hope I'm not betraying any trust. This is a story that's apparently out there. It's just quite a funny one about Tim Visser. It was because he had a really good Six Nations. He had one match last year's Six Nations or the year before where he scored a few tries and played really well. And it was like his 28th test match for Scotland. And this will lead into what we're talking about next. They said, right, on the way back, on the bus, away from the ground, back to the hotel, Tim Visser was made to do his initiation song again, the justification being, you finally turned up. You've had 28 games, you finally showed up, go and do your song again. which is pretty harsh, but funny.
I like that a lot.
But that leads into the subject of rugby initiations, which has been in the news and has been talked about a little bit in recent weeks and reared its head again in the last few days.
Oh.
So there's been some universities that have banned rugby initiations.
Yeah, because they're dull, aren't they? I mean, universities and university societies and people that run student unions are fundamentally dull, boring people. So,
well, they're slightly, I've got no problem with that. The issue I have sometimes with students' unions is they can...
they're idiots.
They profess to be very, very liberal and
they're basically you 3 years ago.
They profess to be like libertarian. Everyone should be able to do what they want.
Yeah.
Unless it's something we don't like, and then we're going to ban it.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, yeah, that sort of stacks up, you know, I'm not that surprised. Happens.
Yeah, okay. So, what's happened this weekend maybe does link with some of the reason why it got to the point where some universities have banned initiations. You just wonder, if you were in a rugby club, and we've all been to universities and been to university rugby clubs, I was social secretary at Bath University when I was there, so I organised the initiation. You can imagine, just because they're banned, they're going to go underground, aren't they? You're going to do it off radar.
100%. It will still happen.
And actually, I was going to say, this isn't like saying, oh, boxing's going to go underground, it's going to get more dangerous. It's going to be equally as dangerous as it was before. There is no regulation. You can't regulate it. Don't bother.
Yeah.
Just, you know, let the boys play. There you go. Yep. I've not said that for a while. Let the boys play. However.
Right. Now, I think part of the reason why the university things are banned is, and this will lead into this story, is... And apologies for my language, can't think of a better word. Unfortunately, there's some dickheads that are running rugby initiations. That's what's happening. There are some dickheads running rugby initiations because they should be fun. Yes, you're probably going to get really drunk. You might do something that's Not. It's not about humiliation. It's about fun, camaraderie, and
It is about humiliation.
There is a line.
Yeah, there is, and it's a very. So you can't. This is why I say you can't regulate it. You're just gonna have common sense, and you are right. A dickhead could potentially take over it. I don't actually think anyone gets up in the morning and thinks, "Today I'm going to do something remarkably stupid." I mean. All it is a group of boys, and everybody wants to be the guy that takes it one step further than the last guy, because that's how you make a name. And that's just, you know, that's why you play the game. It all kind of links in.
Well, no, I don't think that's the point of rugby initiations. I know that's how they can get out of hands, but no.
Oh, no, I think that's how they get out of hand.
That is how they get out of hand.
Because if the rugby initiation is, right, everyone's got a sore off their hand, you know, no one's going to do it.
Yeah.
So
I think you've got to be able to push the boundaries with it. So you've got to bend but not break. So yes, if you did a saw style thing and everyone's chained in a room with a hacksaw.
There we go.
Then that's probably too far. But if it's eating something disgusting and drinking something truly disgusting,
Yeah.
What sort of, is that what your experience of initiations have been? Just something a bit minging?
Yeah.
You know, I've done it, it's over.
I've never done the eating or drinking something disgusting stuff. So I've drunk a lot of alcohol, and in many ways, that is far more dangerous than eating, you know, raw cow stomach or something.
Mine have been the ones I've done have been all good fun. The one at Bath University was simply, and it was the one that was done for years. It was always at one spot we'd have the initiation. Bit of drinking, fun and drinking games, and nothing that you wouldn't do yourself.
That's the important one.
Yeah.
That is the important one.
And then it was always a run to the union, like part, you chuck all your clothes, but we kept pants and shoes, or it was like two items of clothing you can choose, and they go for pants and shoes. Everything else, chuck it in the minibus, which would be driven to the union. And so you just get a load of 19-year-olds running a mile.
Yeah,
in their pants, which is, it's quite funny,
and physical fitness as well. It's conditioning.
Yeah. I mean, the Broughton Park one was we all got naked anyway. I mean, that actually wasn't even an issue. You would be naked 5 minutes in. Well, why not? Because you're with your mates. But the initiation was get naked and played over the top. So you'd start at the back of the bus and then you'd crawl over all of the chairs, and you were timed. And someone would do it on the other side. You had to race and then get back.
That is good fun.
If anyone refused and or didn't turn up,
you get a lot of shit.
Well, no, I actually wasn't the case. We didn't discriminate them, but always on. There's been other ones as well. When people make their debut, I did this Manchester Rugby Club. It was simply at the front of the bus, tell a joke and knock back a big drink. That was the extent of it.
Yeah.
That was the extent of the initiation. It was nothing.
Yeah.
We had at Sedgley for a couple of years. It wasn't always, because I didn't actually do this, but we did sing a song in Edward Cider Hands.
Do you know what? This is word of a lie. Okay,
a bottle of cider in each hand, bottle of White Lightning, taped to your hand.
Taped up.
Out of everything we've just said now, my biggest fear, by far, to do an initiation would be to sing a song.
Yeah.
By far. It doesn't even come close.
I would prefer to...
Give me that cow's brain. Give me the cow's brain.
So I had my university one was... I can't remember. There was something you had to like introduce yourself or describe yourself or something like that I can't quite remember. But then it was eat a bowl of... It was cat food mixed with cream with chilli.
I'll take it.
That was pretty disgusting. And then down... I can't remember, a pint and a couple of whiskies, something like that. I'd take that over doing the singing.
Yeah, anything in a pint glass I know is going to be over in about 3 seconds. It doesn't bother me.
Yeah. Even if it's curdled, but you still get through it.
I would never do anything with my hair, shaving it, dyeing it. I wouldn't sing a song. Forget that, I'm gone. Weird, isn't it?
The old England rugby initiation, I think the song has always been done for quite a while, but the older England initiation, and I don't know when this stopped, but it was when you get your first cap, you then have to go in the bar afterwards. Mm-hmm. You have to go and have a drink with every member of the 23. So 22 people.
What a good idea!
You go and sit and have a drink, and all the people in your team, they decide what your drink is. So if they're being kind to you, they might say, "You're looking a bit rough there, fella. Our drink's going to be a pint of water." But more often than not, it might be. I can't remember who was telling me this, but Jason Leonard was the person. He was having a drink with Jason Leonard. I'll try and remember which England player it was.
That is one of the best ideas I've ever heard.
And they said, and Jason Leonard went, "Have a half a pint of port, please."
So
nice.
You'd. Come into some trouble when you hit the Jonathan Joseph pint or Joseph drink.
That's right. Bottle of Moët, please. Bottle of Moët. It would be floor. Expensive.
Straight
it'd
on
be
the
expensive,
floor.
But you wouldn't drink a drop. It is a good initiation, that, isn't it?
Yeah, I like
good.
That.
It's really good. That'd be great for an amateur club.
22 drinks, though.
We used to play a game called Beat the Best.
Okay.
So you'd start off. So you've got to neck a pint one-on-one. Mm-hmm. Until you get someone that you can beat. So if there's 15 of you out, you'll neck against the fastest person. So for example, Tim would be the fastest. You'd neck against Tim, you'd lose.
Guinness World Record holder.
That is
I'm always fastest.
By the way, there is another rugby podcast out there which talks a lot about drinking pints.
Lads. Yeah. But they don't have a world record holder.
No, they don't. And we don't even mention it, so there you go.
So beat the best. If you're sixth best, you'll do 5 pints. If you're third best, you'll do 3 pints. But if you're sixth best and you've already done 5 pints in like a half an hour period,
yep,
you're unlikely to beat the seventh best.
Excellent.
Ian Petty has put a message on Facebook. Said, only a fool would countenance initiation ceremonies. Idiotic. How many good players have been driven away from the game because of this awfulness? Now,
players I don't want to play with.
I take that point.
No, I don't, actually. I don't. I think it's ridiculous.
I take that point. I don't think it's idiotic to say initiation ceremonies are okay. England did them until very recently and still do a fun singing mm-hmm. one. But they got players getting absolutely I don't even know if that's the right word.
Apoplectic. Apoplectically drunk. So angry.
Yeah. And I'm not going, oh yeah, it's cool to drink. That's not what I'm saying. But and I think Martin Derrida says the line is between humiliation and degradation. Yeah, but I don't want to push anyone away. I want to have fun feel inclusive and it feel like this is a fun rite of passage, something I'm scared about losing sleep about.
Oh yeah. No, it shouldn't be that scary, but it should be pretty either disgusting or something that kind of actually drives a little bit of fear into people. Because when you actually when you do something difficult and challenging as a team and come out the other side of it,
exactly,
you're stronger for yeah. doing it.
However, what's happened in Scotland
yes,
this week,
there is actually a story behind this 10-minute rumble.
Yeah, there's 14 players and some coaches have been sanctioned significantly by the Scottish Rugby Union. 14 players, 2 officials after an initiation ceremony at a Fife club, which just went well beyond the line. It involved a bottle, a player's orifice and a hospital trip.
Jesus. I mean, I know how this has happened.
This is giving rugby and what is a part of team bonding a really, really ridiculously bad name.
So yeah.
Yeah, but
outrageous.
You know, it's obviously not that common, is it? Because this is the first time I've ever heard of that. I completely know how this has happened, which is, oh, that's a bit of an edgy idea, do that, and then someone who's had a few too many beers decides to kick it. That happens. I mean, that's good. Yeah, I can see how this happens, but it is phenomenally rare. So, you know, unlucky boys.
2 players at the club have been suspended from playing for 2 seasons.
That's
for their
ridiculous.
Part.
That's just ridiculous.
What, being banned?
It's like a drugs ban.
It is. They may as well have just done. In fact, if you're going to do drugs, boys, do them now.
Yeah, 2 years on the juice.
2 years juicing. Come back, be ace. It's just, I don't like it. No one is going to feel worse about this than the guys involved and more humiliated.
Well, no. The fella in hospital having internal surgery is feeling worse.
You have to live with your stupid decisions, right? I'm not sure about, I mean, maybe a small, 2 years is far too much. I don't think they're going to be doing it again.
No.
So, and that's the idea, right? The ban is to reform character. So, yeah, it isn't fine. It wasn't a good thing to do. Let's not be banning people.
I don't know. But on this particular case, well,
okay,
I don't know.
Would you ban them, Tim? What would you do personally?
Well, what you're dealing with, you're not going, oh, I'm banning, I'm sanctioning you because, well. Potentially, it's one you hand over to the police. I don't know. Because,
that's for him to hand it over to the police.
Well, yes,
isn't it?
Yes, yeah, I agree.
The victim.
Right, fine. I don't want to go down this particular story too much. It was more of a general point because I know this has been in the news a lot. Universities went back and started, and these rugby initiations were the thing they were talking about a few weeks ago. Just common sense, as you say. And the rule is that I always had when I was running them was I would never make anyone do anything I wouldn't do myself, or I wouldn't, one of my best mates I wouldn't do. So,
yeah.
And then it was fun, inclusive, and great banter.
Great banter. Yeah. I agree with all that stuff, Tim. Well done.
Right.
Happy with that.
Good. Right. Anything else on our agenda for this?
A little quiz.
Oh, Phil! Wow. Well done, you. Someone's prepped. Someone's bothered. Go on.
So, have you got pens and paper
I've got
something to jot?
Something to jot stuff down.
Yeah, I've got Facebook Live to jot it down for me. Right in front of me, boys. Do not send in the answers, please, Facebook Live. You'll ruin the quiz for everyone else.
Yeah, I'm not sure I trust you two with that. Can you just minimise your Facebook Live?
I can't, actually, because it turns it off, okay. Sadly.
Tim, minimise yours, JB.
Do you know what?
Just before we go on to that, Andy Ollie, who's obviously been listening for a long time, says, JB and a rope swing springs to mind.
Exactly.
Now, that was...
I did that to myself.
JB, yeah, that was completely self-inflicted.
It was.
And there's an old podcast, but the brief story is, if you haven't been listening for clearly a long time, and thank you, Ollie, for your loyalty... JB was at a wedding. There was a rope swing there that had a sign saying "Do not use."
No, it didn't have a sign. It didn't have a sign.
It was just padlocked, chained up.
JB unpadlocked it.
No, I didn't. Anyway, it doesn't matter how I did it.
Doesn't matter how you did it. You used the zip wire rope swing thing that shouldn't be used, and impaled yourself on a tree. Like literally impaled yourself on a tree.
Yeah, I had to have emergency surgery and all sorts.
He was hanging upside down by his ass, which had been speared by a branch.
Pull myself off the tree.
Sorry.
Yeah.
All right. Off the tree.
Yeah.
And then dropped 10 feet to the floor.
At least 10 feet, and then I hit it pretty hard. It was one of the worst things that's ever happened. Oh, God,
you didn't miss the podcast though.
No, I didn't. No. I phoned in from hospital bed.
So I was at this wedding.
God, it's horrific.
JB and one of our other friends came. Like, I was inside enjoying a drink. This was like 10 o'clock at night, pitch black outside. They came and said, oh, we're going to go and investigate the
zip line.
Do you know what?
Can we not talk about this? It makes me feel ill. It actually makes me physically sick. You know it.
It's like, there's no way I'm going on a zip line that's chained up when it's pitch black and we don't know what's going on. And then like 15 minutes later, JV came in, limped in with a pool of blood with every step and said, I need a doctor.
Actually,
not my wife.
That is 100% true. Yeah. Did the podcast open? Watch my highlights. Dialed in. Like a pro.
Oh, amazing!
Right,
quiz.
So we have got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 questions.
All right,
six questions, 6 answers.
Okay.
Oh wait, no, 7 answers. Okay. No wait, more than that. 10 answers.
Amazing.
I can't count. Okay, starting off. So, question number 1.
Yeah.
Marlon Yard left Quinns this week.
Ooh.
But which hooker joined them on a 3-month loan?
Oh, don't know that one.
Joined Quinns on a 3-month loan.
Yeah, I know that one. Don't put it on Facebook Live. Don't
yes,
give JB the answer.
Don't help Jay. You can list them all off after we finish this.
Look just straight at Phil. Like
okay. Good eye contact, Jay. Mm. Okay, question number 2.
Yeah.
Name the 3 Premiership players who've made the most metres with ball in hand this season.
Don't know this one either.
1 point for each.
Well, it's a guess though, isn't it?
It is a guess. So you can only put down 3.
No, is it negatively marked?
It's not negatively marked.
Most metres.
Most metres made with ball in hand this season.
It's got to be that one.
I think they're all fairly obvious.
Are they? 2 are. The third, not so much.
Okay.
Question 3. Following criticism from Matthew Saeed in his Times column this week, and then defence from David Flatman, it was revealed that Gavin Henson often brings what with him to training to ensure he eats right?
Oh.
Do you know this?
Okay.
So it wasn't, if you read the Matthew Saeed article, it wasn't in that.
Oh, we might have to talk about that actually, it's quite interesting.
Yeah, it is quite interesting. But Matthew Saeed was criticising people who have the talent but not the application, and he named Henson and Sippers as 2 who have talent but not application.
Hmm.
And there was a lot of rugby players came to both Sippers and Gavin Henson's
defence.
Which was
nice to see, I like that.
Yeah, really good. Okay, question 4. Freddie Burns made the headlines, I think is probably the wrong word, but he made some news this week by cutting the ribbon on a new establishment in Bath.
Ooh.
But what type of building was it? Was it a pub?
Okay.
A council office? A bank or a swimming pool?
Okay.
Next question. To the nearest 5 years, so 5, 10, 15, 20, etc., how old was this weekend's starting Cardiff Blues front row?
Oh, well done.
The nearest 5 years.
Okay. Okay. So you're rounding up or down or whatever?
Well, to the nearest. So
to the nearest,
if it's,
mate. If it's
right. higher than 2.5,
yeah.
Okay.
I'll round up. Okay.
Okay.
Final question. 2 points available for this. Which two players share the all-time consecutive Premiership kicking record? So that is all-time consecutive kicks scored, so penalties, conversions.
Oh wow.
And Tim, this was on the back of the pad that you gave me last week, the Gloucester Bath stat pack.
Oh no.
So you will see this
I
stat.
Knew you'd read that cover to cover.
You will read this stat every week.
Oh man.
Okay, have we got some answers?
Yes.
I think these two are. You will probably guess them. They are both renowned for being consistent kickers.
Well, I'd imagine they would be. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, I'll commit to answers on that in a minute.
So first question, JB, so Marlon Lard left Quinns this week.
Marlon Lard.
Yeah. Which hooker has joined Quinns?
It was our drinking buddy, the Great Dane, Mikey Mayhew.
Tim?
I've got Mikey Mayhew written down.
1 point each.
The Great Dane.
The Great Dane. Second question, three players who've made the most metres with ball in hand this season.
So should we do one at a time?
Vianu.
Yep. I've got Talusa Vianu.
Incorrect.
Oh.
Really?
I think he was number four.
Right. Oh dear.
Okay, I've also got Johnny May.
I also have Johnny May.
Is correct. He was number two.
Okay.
And the final one I have, Alex Lewington.
Byron McGuigan.
Both incorrect.
Oh.
The other two, you'll probably kick yourself with these. One has done this...
Kick each other.
Yeah. One has done it quite quietly, and that's Alex Goode. Who's made 100,
really?
100 metres more than anyone else this season. In third place is Ollie Woodburn.
Right. Stacks up.
Okay.
Swimming pool.
Question.
So we're two each.
Yeah, two each. Question three. What does Gavin Henson bring with him to...
Oh, right, not swimming pool then.
I didn't see this story.
Did you not?
So I just put scales.
Right. Okay, so... It's food, right? You mentioned food.
Well, what does he bring with him to ensure he eats right to training?
So, does he not have a caravan with steaming veg and turkey?
A what? A
steamer. Veg and turkey.
What was the first thing you said?
A caravan.
A caravan, yes.
Yeah.
A camper van.
What?
That's it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Correct. 1 point to JB.
He also has a lovely vanity mirror.
Yeah.
Full length. It's floor to ceiling and ceiling to ceiling and ceiling to floor. Yeah.
With those little light bulbs all the way around it.
Yeah. So 3-2 to JB.
No.
Right. Swimming pool is the next one.
Average age.
Well, no. This is Freddie Burns cutting the ribbon. Mm-hmm. JB says swimming pool.
I've wrote bank. I didn't have a clue. Didn't see this either.
Bank is correct.
Oh, get no. in!
3-all.
What bank was it?
So one is well earned and the other's a guess. What a stupid quiz.
It was NatWest Bank that he opened in Bath, which has to be one of the dullest Instagram posts I've seen this week.
I once, when I was just starting at radio, I got asked, because no one else at the station wanted to do it. I opened a garden centre in Northampton with, and I had to go up and interview Tommy Walsh.
The footballer? Is that a footballer?
No, from... this was like 10 or more years ago. From that gardening show with Alan Titchmarsh.
Oh, yeah.
Charlie Dimmock, yeah.
The overly cockney builder.
Yeah. So final one then, 3 apiece.
No, two to go, 3 apiece.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So to the nearest 5 years, how old was this weekend starting Cardiff Blues front row?
I guess 38.
I know.
No, a combined.
Yeah, sorry, oh, right, okay. Sorry, this is combined.
Oh, okay, sorry. Okay, so that would be 100 plus 555,
115. 115 is what I put. I'll go 120.
115 is correct.
No,
I'm keeping it 4-4. You don't need to change it. You wrote 115 down. We're 4-4 going into the last
4-4, last four. Yeah. It's unlikely you've both got the same two answers, but it's possible. So, yeah, Felice is 40. Gethin Jenkins and Matthew Rees both turn 37 within the next month.
Wow. Good lads.
Yeah, fair
play. Not really many tricks you can pull on that front row, is there?
Not really.
Many gimmicks.
No. Finally, two players who share the all-time consecutive kicking record. I think something like 18 consecutive. I've not got
all
it
right.
to hand.
So I'm going to have one, a stab in the dark, which is well known but unlikely. Bram van Straaten.
Tim, do you have Bram van Straaten?
I don't have Bram van Straaten, but I went on a similar. I went on a similar vein, and because you picked, you said it was on the back of a Bathory Gloucester stat pack from the BT Sports stat map.
Okay.
I guess Mercier.
Well, so, isn't it Merceron? No, it's Ludovic Mercier, isn't it?
So Mercier.
Merceron was a French prime minister.
No. He was the bald-headed scrum half, fly half.
Oh, okay.
So Mercier, Merceron.
So
Ludovic Mercier.
Mercier is incorrect. Oh. Van Bram Straaten is also incorrect.
That's Bram Van 3000. That van that they're drinking in LA. Good song.
A great song. So who are your others?
I just went for the easy one. Farrell.
I went for the easy one, Johnny Wilkinson.
Farrell, incorrect.
Wilkinson, correct.
Correct. No! We have a winner.
Well, how did you not go Tim? For Johnny Wilkinson?
Because I just thought it was like, I can't have two old ones.
So Tim wins 5-4. Yeah. And the one that you missed, anyone want to have a stab in the dark?
Tim Stimson.
So he got called up to England as a fullback, kicking.
Stop. Mark Van Gisbergen.
Van Gisbergen.
Damn it.
Oh, yeah, he did get called up to England, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
The original project player.
MVG.
Yeah.
Yes.
Tim wins.
Right. And we are done for this podcast. We will have a short Autumn International preview podcast coming your way. So just subscribe to your podcast feed and it will get delivered straight to you. If you want to rip us a new one about our outrageous and outdated views on initiation ceremonies, then get in touch.
Feel free.
And yeah, subscribe. I'm sorry, I just got distracted because, yeah, never mind. Don't worry.
Right.
It was someone saying the answer was 112 to the combined age, so shouldn't it be 110 to the nearest five?
It's not. It's 114.4, something like that.
There you go. 114. Have that, Bill Samuel. Yeah. Don't question Phil's stats.
Yeah, nice one, Bill.
Yeah, it's more than that. If you round them down to 36, 36 and 40, then it is. But if you actually include the number of days, so...
Oh my goodness, this is so what we mean. This is what Phil does.
So Gethin and Jenkins is 36 and 350 days, something like that. So yeah. There's no point rounding him down to 36.
Phil, you want to take the accurate score.
Oh dear, yeah. Oh dear. First, Phil destroyed Austin Healey with discrete versus absolute data
no,
sets.
That was mutually exclusive probabilities.
Yeah,
and when he said there's going to be 15 World Cups.
So you're in good company, Bill, because Phil's destroyed Austin Healey before, and he's now he's now taking you down to size.
Count the days.
Thank you very much. Right, so yeah, get involved in our Tier 2 tour, subscribe, tell your mates, and let the boys play.
Let the boys play.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape.
And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.